Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Program. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. Got a lot of great information that I'll share with you while we're on the call today. The call today will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call today is out in our Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program. You can click on the link in the email message that I sent out earlier today, and you can also just type in Sales Technology Training Program in the search window on Facebook, and that should find it. You can also add it to your list of favorites. And I can see that posting is already posting there, so thanks for posting, Roy. I will read the messages out there a little bit later. Also want to welcome Alan, who's joining into the call, so if you can head over to the Facebook group and join us there, and also acknowledging Tom Holtis for joining in today, and also Shannon Newt. So thanks for joining in. Again, join me over in the Facebook group where we'll be and share your takeaways while we go through the call today. Now, the you can also access the audio recordings from these Sales Technology Training Program calls out on the Facebook page, or not the Facebook page, but in the membership page. And you'll find that link in the email message that I sent out earlier today. The Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. We talk about specific technology tools that you can use to increase sales. Today, we're going to be talking about digital you online video strategies, how to create your own digital you, meaning a digital version of yourself that people can watch online and use that as a way to build your business. Before we get into that, I just wanted to give you a couple updates on a couple things that are coming up today or coming up soon. First, I want to encourage you to join me for a encore presentation of my webinar on article marketing strategies, and that's going to be coming up on Thursday of this week. And I'll share the link out here in the chat window in just a moment. I've got a GoToWebinar link that I can share with you. And so that webinar is going to be on the October 23rd at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And let me pull up the link here. Let me pull up the link for you. And the other thing I wanted to let you know is that I've got a upcoming event that's coming up. Actually, a couple of them coming up, but let me just share one of them with you. Which is coming up in November. And that one is going to be on 7 Secrets to Become a Highly Paid Expert. 7 Secrets to Become a Highly Paid Expert. That is a teleseminar. And let me share the link for that one with you as well. It is socialmediaoutcomes.com/expertsecrets. socialmediaoutcomes.com/expertsecrets. Link for that one. And so go out and get registered for that. Then I also have a upcoming event, which is a virtual blog workshop. And let's see, I can share the I'll share the GoToWebinar link with you on that one as well. But let's see, first of all, let me share the article marketing one. Article marketing strategies. And again, this is a GoToWebinar link. You can go check that out in the Facebook group. And then the final one there is for the virtual blog writing workshop. And let me give you the date on that one. That is going to be on November 6th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. That's going to be a two-hour workshop. And if you're listening to the recording of this call and would like to participate in send me an email for more details, just email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. All right, I have all three of them shared out in the Facebook group on the pinned post. You can go check those out. So let's go ahead and continue on with our content for today. Today we're talking about online video and how to create a digital version or digital you. This concept was originally shared by Eric Laufholm. That's who I learned it from. And he talked about the concept as Digital Eric, creating a digital version of himself, and he recently launched this strategy. So he has a lot of online videos that he's posted out online. And you know, one of the keys to a digital you strategy is not just the videos, it's how to get people to watch the videos. because you can post all the videos that you want out on YouTube and people can come across those videos. But part of the value of a digital you strategy is that you have a sequence of videos that people watch over time and then communicating those videos out to people. Now, Eric mentioned that he was actually inspired to do videos by Brendan Burchard. And you might be familiar with Brendan. He has a program that appeals to experts in various areas, and he's got a best-selling book out there. And Brendan uses videos a lot in his business. And I've watched some of Brendan's videos, and one of the things I notice Brendan do on videos is he uses a flip chart to share information, flip chart or whiteboard, something where he can just stand up there and he can jot down some ideas and he can speak to those ideas. And it looks like it's usually filmed in an office somewhere. And, you know, they're simple, they're straightforward, but he shares a lot of great ideas and information. And so one of the things I want to encourage you to do is to follow best practices. Follow best practices. I want you to start paying more attention to the content that you see, the video content. And not only pay attention to, you know, what it is that people are sharing, because you always want to learn from them, but you also want to pay attention to the how. What are the specific strategies that they're implementing? What is the offer? You know, where are they leading people? How long is the video? Is it just strictly them on camera? Is it them showing a PowerPoint, you know, PowerPoint slides? So think about the different methods for communicating information through video. Are there any kind of other visuals that are incorporated into the video? Are there intros or outros? So video can be simple. It can also be complex. So first of all, get comfortable creating videos. If you haven't taken any time to create videos before, then experiment with it, play with it. You're probably not likely to just get up and do a 15-minute video the first time you record a video. I encourage you to start off and create simple, short, high-impact videos, like 2 to 3 minutes long, and then go post them out on YouTube. The more video you create, the more comfortable that you get with that medium, and the easier it becomes to do more complex videos. And when you do longer videos, it's very likely that you might need to have those videos edited. And so that's either you editing the videos or having somebody else edit the videos. Now, a simple format that you can use for creating videos is the selfie video. If you have a digital camera, you can just hold up your camera and record yourself and talk on camera. And a lot of marketers use their digital cameras to record videos. Something like Brendan Burchard does or Eric Laufholm does, they go into a studio oftentimes and they film their videos or have a videographer film the videos, and you know, typically they would take the video and they would do the editing on it. They might add an intro, they might add music onto it. So there are a lot of different techniques that you can use. But a selfie video is real simple to do. And in your marketing, look for simple, quick, easy things to do. Also look at speed of implementation. How long is it going to take you to get something done? Like if you're going to record the video and then it's going to take you 3 months to get it implemented, then that's a long time before you get a return on your investment. Whereas if you did a selfie video and you recorded it and you posted it up to YouTube within a half an hour later, you could start getting results from that. So think of things that you can implement in your business where there's a quick or fast speed of implementation, where you can take it and implement it right away. There may be a time and a place to do professional videos, and you might want to start reaching out to some video experts. Reach out and talk to some people and find out what you can learn from them that you can implement in your business. In fact, a great visual marketing expert who's part of our community is Susan Schlieff. You can connect with Susan out on Facebook. She's a member of the Facebook group. So if you go out to our Sales Technology Training Program group and then click on the Members tab, it'll bring up a list of the members in the program. And Susan's out there, so you can go connect with her directly. Susan's got a great book on visual marketing coming out, actually specifically talking about neuromarketing as it relates to visual marketing. And Susan also helps people with their PowerPoint presentations as well. Susan's also been a guest on this call previously, so she's a great person to learn more about how to incorporate more visual marketing into your business. Susan Wineshank is known as the Brain Lady. She's a speaker, author, and consultant to brands like Amazon, Disney, Walmart, and South by Southwest. And she uncovered four core human reasons that were drawn to video. Reason number one is what's called the fusiform facial area. The fusiform facial area. And that makes us pay attention to faces. This is an actual brain function that hardwires us face as a gathering point for information and believability. So our brains are literally hardwired to pay attention to faces that we see. So what that tells me is if you're doing a video, you know, where you're on camera, then that increases the likelihood that people are going to pay attention to your message. Now, all other things, you know, held equal, having your face there on video with you talking, that helps to increase your, you know, believability, and it builds trust and rapport with people. Reason number two is that the voice conveys rich information. The simple sound of a human voice speaking to us has an amazing way of converting information into meaningful content. I love the audio format. That's one of the reasons I do this program in an audio format on a teleseminar or conference call. Because, you know, sometimes just being able to listen in, just listen to a message, hear it, take notes, process the information can be very beneficial. And so as you're working to communicate information through your voice, then think about how you can get connected with people. What can you can do to build trust and rapport? Think of how to make your voice more rich, more compelling. Sharing stories is a great way to do that. Reason number three is that emotions are contagious. So a subtle but powerful aspect that we often take for granted, the body language of emotion is appealing, and we naturally love to share. So if you are upbeat, if you are energetic, then that well over into communicating through audio and video. And reason number four is that movement grabs attention. So this would be another case if you were on video. We have a, you know, it's part of our collective anthropological DNA in terms of the power of peripheral motion. So we pay attention to things moving on screen. Since the Stone Age, we've survived by noticing things in motion. And so it's kind of that fight or flight mechanism. You know, when you see something coming at you, you know, you react to that. And so our attention causes us to pay attention to things that are moving on screen. And so if you're going to be on a video, make sure that you're doing something to, you know, create some motion, whether it's waving your hand, holding up an object, or doing something that grabs their attention while, you know, because oftentimes people will kind of just go into a hypnotic state. There are times that you want to wake them up, you know, bring them back into the here and now. Now, let me share a couple tips with you here on creating short, high-impact videos. So first of all, how long should your video be? In most cases, if you're just going to post it up to YouTube, I recommend keeping it to about 2 to 3 minutes long. If you're going to put a video on your website, first of all, there are different types of videos. If you want to put a homepage video, I'd recommend keeping it to about 30 seconds to a minute. If you have a video on a speaker page, for instance, you might want to have it a little bit longer, more like 5 minutes, like a chunk of content if you were delivering it in front of a group. It could be 5 minutes, could be upwards of 10 minutes, but 5 minutes is ideal for somebody just coming across your website, looking around, and you know, for them seeing you speak. And what would be ideal is if you had a segment from your presentation. If you had somebody record you while you were presenting, that would be great to share on your website. In the video, let me break down a specific sequence for you to share information. First of all, you want to start off by introducing yourself. Don't assume that people know who you are. If they're watching out on YouTube and they clicked around, they might have come out to this video and they don't know anything else about you. They don't know your name, who you are, what your business is. And so the first thing you want to do is introduce yourself, but keep it brief. Then you want to get straight into the content. You might even start off with some kind of an opener to tell them what they're going to learn in the video. give them a reason to pay attention. In fact, a great technique is known as an ICR, which stands for an interest-creating remark. It helps grab their attention and focus them in to the message that you're going to share. Then in a short video, 2 to 3 minutes long, about all you're going to be able to accomplish is really to share about one tip. If you're going to share a couple of ideas, you could end up overwhelming people and you're going to end up with a longer video. So it's better to focus in on one idea and just go deep with that one idea. Within the video, you could also tell a story. So think of how you can tell a story that would relate to the topic at hand, the idea, the strategy, the tip, the technique. Also, at the end of the video, share an offer. What is an offer that you can share? Do you have a free offer? Do you have a lead capture page where people can go out and opt in to your email list? I'll give you a simple example. I have a free report on 33 simple strategies to build your email list. So I might record a video, and then I encourage people to go out and get that report. I'd say something like, if you'd like to download a copy of my report on 33 simple strategies to build your email list, go to socialmediaoutcomes.com/33email. That's with the number 33 email. And then I repeat the call to action. So now, what kind of offer would you share based on the content that you're sharing? Well, you'd want to have that line up. You'd want your offer to be in alignment with the content that you're sharing. So if you are, so in the case, if I would start off and say, I want to create a video and I want to lead people toward my free report on building your email list. And so I would pick a topic to talk about that was related to email marketing. Maybe I create a video and talk about subject lines. And so I could talk about the subject line, so I know that the person watching is interested in email marketing. That also lets me know that they're probably going to also be interested in building their list. And so when I share the free offer at the end, I know they're going to be motivated by that offer. So that's something you should do. Now, keep in mind, if you don't have a lead capture page or if you only have one, then you have an opportunity to create more. You need multiple lead generation systems in your business, according to Jay Abraham. And Eric Laufham says, until you have at least 10 online lead generation systems, then you have more work to do. So this is a continuous process of implementing strategies online to build your business. And if you haven't implemented the steps that you need, then you've got more work to do. The nice thing about it is this is a creative process. So you can get into creation mode and you can work on implementing these strategies over time. Maybe it's creating a free report. Maybe it's creating an audio program or a video, something that you can use to create that will lead people to, wanting to learn more from you. So you share your offer in the video and then finally give the call to action. And usually that call to action is to go out to a website, but it could be something different. It could be you could share your phone number. There's a popular social media strategist who shares her phone number on videos and encourages people to contact her. You could also share your email address as a way to connect. Now, I want you to think for a moment about what kind of videos that you can create. So we're going to do an exercise right now. I want you to take about 2 minutes, and I want you to think of the topic for one video that you could create. And then I want you to go out and post that in the Facebook group. And while you're doing that, I'm going to pop out to the Facebook group, see how many comments we have out there. And I don't think I did this earlier, but let me share a goal for the number of comments that for our call today. And I can see we're already up to 35, so you guys are like on it today. Let's set a goal for 60. So our comment goal for today's call is 60 comments. So go ahead and post that in the group and share. What is a topic for a video that you can create? So take 2 minutes to do that now. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and continue on, and you can keep adding your comments out in the Facebook group. I've already seen a couple of folks post out there, so great job. Let me talk about another concept here, and this comes back to this concept of digital you, and it's the concept of a pre-client funnel. A pre-client funnel. So first of all, let me just talk about marketing funnels for a moment and then talk about how this relates to it. So imagine a funnel wide at the top, narrow at the bottom. At the top of the funnel, you offer something for free. A little deeper in the funnel, you offer something for low cost. A little deeper, something at a medium price range. And at the bottom of the funnel is your most expensive product or service. So oftentimes, if you are wanting to sell a product or service, one of the ways to do that is by talking to people over the phone, scheduling an appointment. The way a pre-client funnel works is it helps to qualify your prospects prior to talking to them. Now, you can talk to people who are qualified, or you can talk to people who are not qualified. You have an option, and it might make sense to talk to both. But one of the things a pre-client funnel can do is it can help to qualify people in advance. It can give you more information about that prospect. It can educate your prospect about you and what you have to offer before you talk to them. That way you're laying the foundation prior to your conversation. If you are making cold calls and then trying to talk to people about your business, or if you are, if somebody schedules an appointment, you haven't had any prior contact with them and you just get on the phone with them and now you're having to kind of probe and learn more about them, it takes more work. So part of the process of a pre-client funnel is it helps to communicate with people in advance prior to you talking to them, so that it helps to lay that foundation, lay the groundwork, so by the time you talk to them, then they're more interested in what you have to share. They want to talk with you. They already have a sense of what you're going to talk about. They might have even answered some questions or done a little bit of work in advance. So what is a pre-client funnel? How does it work? Well, there's a number of different ways you can implement it. There's not one right way, but in a lot of cases, it uses video. So there would be a sequence of videos that you would need to create. Let's say, for instance, there are 5 videos that you would want to create. Now, for one, there's no guarantee that if you create the videos that people are going to watch them. So you can't just make an assumption that people are automatically going to go out and watch your videos. So you have to have some means or mechanism that will encourage them to go watch your videos. And so the second technology beyond online video that you can use in your pre-client funnel are autoresponders. An autoresponder email message is an email message that can go out based upon a schedule. You create the email messages, you set them up in your email marketing system, and then they go out over a series of time. So part of what you have to do is figure out for new people coming into your funnel, at what point, would you initiate this sequence of email messages that would lead them to watch your videos? Is it something that happens right away, or is there a period of time that passes before you would do this? So part of email marketing is thinking through the sequence of, what happens when somebody opts into your email list. What messages do they receive? What can you do to gather more information about them? One other component that you can include in your pre-client funnel would be the use of an online survey. So that would be a third technology tool you can use. There's a service called SurveyMonkey. You can go out and set up a free survey, and then you could send people a link to fill out the survey, and you could use that in your process. So that's something that you could tie into the videos. You could talk about this survey, and you don't necessarily have to call it a survey, by the way. There are different words that could describe it. You might call it an assessment, for instance, or an information gathering tool or something like that. But just think about, how you want to refer to that. You don't have to use the word survey. But you would want to ask a series of questions and gather that information. And maybe there's an additional step. Maybe there is an incentive that would motivate them. Part of this autoresponder series that you would set up might be to encourage people to go out to watch a video more than once. So again, you can't assume that the first time, first of all, that somebody's going to open your email message and that they're going to click and go out and watch it. And so you might need to do some follow-up. Now, if you created a series of videos for a pre-client funnel, what would those videos be about? What information would you want to communicate? What would you want to educate them about? Are there any particular stories that you would want to tell? See, stories can be very powerful. Stories can be very effective. You can tell your stories. You can tell client stories. You can tell stories about celebrities or athletes or others. There are some great books that have a lot of stories in them, including the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. So start looking for stories that relate to what you do. Look for stories that can help to educate people about a topic. Start writing your own stories up. Now, let me talk for a moment about what an email message would look like that would send somebody to go out and watch a video. Generally, when you have an autoresponder series, you want to have information or ideas that you would communicate through those email messages. So each message you send should inherently have some value. There should be some value that's in that message to where if they just read the message, they would get that information and go, oh, that's interesting. And in addition to that, you also want to share the opportunity to go watch the video. So how do you motivate somebody to go watch a video? Well, I'll give you an example. I sent out an email message today, in fact, where I encourage people to go out and watch a video. So let me pull this up real quick. I'll just give you the language around this that I used as an example. All right, so the subject line was online marketing technique for lead generation. And then in parentheses, I put increase opt-ins. And then the message starts off, hi, in the name of the person, do you have an email list? So I started off with a question. Questions are great to insert in your email messages. It gets people thinking. Then I followed on with another question. Are you interested in building your list? So I'm gauging their interest, helping to qualify them up front in the email. Do you have an email list? Are you interested in building your list? And then I start in, if you want to add more people to your email, then you need a great offer to encourage people to opt in. So I'm sharing some information here. And then I say, one of my favorite techniques to accomplish is this. And I noticed I just did, I had an error in my email that I didn't catch. And I'm just seeing it as I'm reading this myself, but that's okay. People still clicked and read. And then it follows on and says, watch a short video to learn this. And then it has a link where they can click and then go out to my blog. So I embedded, first of all, I created a video. I posted it up to YouTube. And then I embedded the video onto my blog. And so when I sent out this email, then I included a link out to that blog post. Then I said, so I continued on. On the video, I share some great ideas to build trust and rapport online. And I share my favorite technique to encourage people to opt in online. Watch my video now at, and then I included the link again. And then I wrapped up the email message. I also included something else in the PS statement. I won't get into that there. But what's nice about this is that it's a simple way of leveraging the video content that I already have. And so I already had the video. I already had posted it up on my blog. So when I created the email, I thought to myself, what do I already have out there that I can already use? Now, if you're creating a pre-client funnel, then you probably want to think through the process of each one of those videos. You'd want to order and orchestrate that. So you create those different videos, and then you create the email series that go along with it. But that's an example there. That email that I sent out is an example that you could follow and implement. And in general, when you send out an email message like that, you want to have the link appear in the upper fold of the email. The upper fold means when they open up the email message, they see the link within, you know, without having to click and scroll down. And I don't know, for this email, it may have just been below the fold. You might have to click to scroll once. It depends on what email or what device that you're using. On a mobile device, typically, depending on the size of the screen, it's going to be smaller, so you might not see the link there. In other cases, on a larger screen, it might easily show. So it just depends. But generally, within the first couple paragraphs there, you want to have that first link so that people see there's a link there, because people are trained. When they see a link, they want to go click on it, and they want to go get that information. And so if the information that you're sharing adds value, then they're going to want to learn more. All right, let's switch gears. I want to pop out to the Facebook page and see who's posting out there. And it looks like we're already up to 43 comments, so great job. If you haven't had a chance to post yet, I encourage you to post there. Let's see. I know that. Let me do a quick check on the call here. I know that Shanna's on the call today, so I'm just going to add a post in here. Hi, Shanna. Please comment here. So, Shanna, I just referenced you in a post if you want to pop out there. All right. Let me read some of the comments. Roy said, today's topic, digital you, video marketing. Tom's on the call today and says, good afternoon, Rick and group. Alan said, today is digital you, and he says, digital yous for people in some parts of New York, as in use guys. Let's see. Susan Schlieff says, okay, I have to ask, what's the difference between a virtual blog and a regular blog? Or is it a virtual workshop, not a virtual blog? It's a virtual blog writing workshop, in the sense as you don't have to get in your car or fly and come to a blog writing workshop. It's virtual in the sense that it's a webinar and you can do it from home. That's the virtual part of it. And let's see. Roy said, I think it's a virtual workshop. Exactly. Roy said, you can use a flip chart or a whiteboard as a visual aid during video presentations. Yes, and if you do that, one of the things I would recommend is make sure that you do a little bit of testing of the video to make sure that that flip chart or whiteboard is visible on camera. One thing to watch for is, depending on the lighting that you have in the room, sometimes you can have shine on that on the flip chart or whiteboard. And so if you're writing on it, people may not actually be able to read it because the light is kind of reflecting off of it and then bouncing toward the camera. So before you spend a lot of time, energy, and effort on recording a bunch of videos, make sure that you actually record it and then take a look at it to make sure that things are staged properly. If you have a videographer, generally, they have a good sense of lighting, and they may have their own lights. They may have muted lights or filters or things like that, which will help reduce that those types of issues. Susan said, Rick, I hope you're going to share the recording for the article marketing webinar at some point. It doesn't matter how many times you offer it, I can't attend during the workday. I don't know if I sent out the recording from the last one that I did. I'll have to double check. I think, let me see if I can locate that for you real quick, Susan. I'll tell you if I have that link up already. And the last time I did that was last week. I believe it was on a Wednesday. That was, yes, October 15th. And no, I don't have that one up yet. So I'll add that to my task list to work on for tonight. Article marketing video for Susan. All right, you're on my list. and I will send it out to the other folks who registered. And for anybody else, you can join me for the live Encore webinar, which will be coming up on this Thursday, the 23rd. Okay, back to the Facebook page. Susan said, 15-minute videos are not really recommended anyway. The place that I've seen 15-minute videos and even up to 25 to 30-minute videos are usually by internet marketers who drive out to a page from an email, and usually there's some specific offer that they're making at the end of the video. But and I don't know what the results are overall, but I know they spend a lot of time, energy, and effort on them. The format that I often see for these types of videos is where you have a speaker talking, and then on screen you see some visuals, but oftentimes what they'll do is they'll use the words almost like a verbatim script that you see on screen. So they're talking, and you see the words on the screen. And occasionally they'll throw in a picture, but another technique that's used for a lot of these videos is you can't stop the video, you can't fast forward, or you can't rewind. You just have to let it play. And so they have video players that they use to play videos for that length of time. And they don't tell you how long the video is, so you don't know. You can't look at it and see how long it is, so you keep watching. Because, and it's interesting, you know, they do share ideas and information, but they're also selling, you know, their product or program at the end. So it depends. You know, it's like for every rule, there's an exception to the rule. So based on the frequency that I see some of these things, I would say that in some circles it's used quite a bit. Roy said, a simple video format is just recording yourself with a video, like a selfie. Yeah, absolutely. I think that format works very well. It helps people build trust and rapport. That's a format, just a short, simple selfie that people enjoy watching. And it's also a great format to share out on social media. If you're going to post a video up onto Facebook or another site, that's a real simple format to show. And by the way, for videos that you create and post out on YouTube, you can share those on Facebook to where people can watch the video within Facebook. Alan said, easy peasy selfie video can be done quickly with a cell phone or a digital camera. Yeah, absolutely. Digital cameras can also be used. A lot of the digital cameras these days will allow you to record video. Alan said, for bigger video projects, seek out an expert like Susan Joy Schlieff. Absolutely. Susan says, I guess a selfie video would be holding the camera or phone out in your hand. If you want to go one step more advanced, you can use an inexpensive mini tripod or buy a small adapter for your brand of phone. Good point. Oftentimes with the selfie videos, because you're holding the camera up, you get a little of the wiggle and jiggle in your video, which can sometimes be a little bit distracting. But if you get a tripod or something that will hold up your phone, then that will help. You could also try just leaning your phone against something, but it could also fall over that way. So tripods often work very well. Alan said, there are basic human reasons why videos is so effective. Susan said, Susan Weinshank's books are part of my resource material for my book. Awesome. Glad to hear that. Alan said, people connect with a real face. Yeah, definitely. When you see somebody's face on camera, it naturally makes you want to pay attention. Alan says, people respond to voices talking. Definitely. Susan said, apparently there is a special part of the human brain that is dedicated to recognizing other human faces. Pretty important task. Yeah, I think I've heard some things. I can't just remember off the top of my head, but like it's weird, but if we see like a face upside down, I think I don't know if it's that the brain recognizes that or if it doesn't recognize it or what, but it's just weird how, you know, normally when you're seeing a face straight on, that's how we're adjusted for communication. But if you see a face in a weird, you know, angle or shape or something like that, then it changes it, makes it different. Alan said, Emotions are contagious and can be demonstrated by body language and voice changes. Definitely. Yeah, and also, by the way, when you're doing your videos, you can also vary your tonality and also the speed with which you're talking. You can speed up and you can slow down. Tom said, be emotional in your presentations. Yeah, there might be times when you want to share that emotion. Be enthusiastic. Alan says, we notice things in motion on screen, like waving hands or showing an object. Susan says, exactly what I've been saying for months. Motion grabs people's attention. Don't just stand in front of a camera like a talking head. Alan said, if your head can spin around, that will get a lot of attention. Alan is our comedian in the group, so thanks for sharing that, Alan. That would be like The Exorcist. Roy said, when introducing yourself on video, don't assume your audience knows you. Yeah, absolutely. And you don't know where people are going to be sharing your videos. People might click and share it on their own page, so someone might not know who you are. They might not see whatever you've added in the notes for your video. So just kind of assume that people are just, you know, watching the video and don't know who you are. Susan says, Alan, that would be one of the motions that our primal brains would respond to as being threatening. Roy said, exercise, think about the topic for one video you could create. And Roy said his topic would be on how to break through writer's block. Good. You could probably do a whole series on that and share some different tips. Tom says, my first video would be on identity theft discovery and recovery. Good. And again, you could probably do a series on that too. I'll talk about different types of identity theft and different methods for recovery. And I think also another component of that, Tom, would be around your credit report. You can do a series talking about credit reports and the damage to your credit report and to your finances too. Susan says, the next video I need to create is a teaser or trailer for my next Hangout. I'll be posting it on the event page in Google+, and probably on my Facebook page too. Awesome. Roy says, autoresponder messages can increase the odds of your audience watching your videos. Yeah, and you can do follow-up emails in your autoresponder series, like, did you see this or something like that, where you're following up. You know, I shared a video a couple days ago. Did you have a chance to watch it? If not, here's the link. Make sure you go click out. One of the ideas I share on the video is blah, blah, blah. So you can do a follow-up to an email. Let's see. Roy said, put your link above the fold in your email. Definitely. And you know, I also encourage you to include your link multiple times in an email. I will usually put a call to action about 3 or 4 times in an email message, like 3 times at the beginning of the email, and then I include a closing signature, a PS statement, and then include the link one more time in the PS. Shanna says, I'll create a video on getting more referrals. Awesome. Susan said, Rick, that's a great point about shine when using a whiteboard especially. I've tried it and couldn't get it to work with my lighting. Yeah, that might be one of the reasons why sometimes they use flip charts, because a whiteboard by nature has a reflective surface. And so it's real tough to get lighting going against it. And you know, you also have other problems in videos. Sometimes the video is too dark, and so you don't have the shine problem, but you do have a problem with people just being able to read the screen. And you can't just assume people are going to read what's on there anyway. You have to speak to the points that you're adding on there, you know, speak to it, point to it as you're utilizing it. But that is something which is popular in videos. I know Ann DeVere is an expert in the area of doing video-type presentations. And in fact, one of the tools that she uses is a service called Uvu, uvu.com, I believe it is. And let me see if I can get you an exact spelling on that. Maybe somebody can share that out in the Facebook group. It's I believe it's O-O-V-O-O, O-O-V-O-O.com. And that's a video, it's a video chat service, but it's also a live streaming service. Something similar would be Ustream. But typically with Ustream, you log in through the website, whereas Uvu actually has a component that you can download to your computer and then do video live streaming off of it as well. That's another style of presentation. Would be similar to something like Google Hangouts. All right, so it looks like we have a couple more minutes left on the call. So let me share a few more ideas, then I'll go back to the Facebook group for any final comments before we wrap up. We'll check in and see how we're doing on our comment goal. We're getting pretty close there, it looks like. So let me share with you five additional tips for creating great videos. Five tips for creating great videos. Number one, script and practice your videos. It's a good idea or best practice when you're creating a video to script it out. Now, you're not going to be able to read from a script. I actually have I've used software for a teleprompter and tried using that for videos, and then you kind of read what's on the screen. The problem with that is you end up sounding like you're reading it. And so a better approach is to script it out and then just practice it multiple times so you really get comfortable. Don't worry about saying it exactly as it is in the script. The important thing is really just to communicate the message. And so by practicing it a couple times, you kind of get familiar with it. I do recommend that you work from an outline. So depending on your format that's set up, where you're standing, you know, what's in front of you. If you have a surface in front of you, like if you're facing a wall, for instance, then you could post something up on the wall with an outline. You could print that out and have that available to where you could see it, or you could write it out by hand, use a thicker marker so you could read it more easily. But in general, the outline is used to help keep you on track so that you make sure that you share the proper things in the right order. Like if you're going to share a story, make sure you know exactly where you're going to share that story. Otherwise, you might lose track in your video. Now, in a 2 to 3 minute video, it's pretty easy to practice it a couple times to really be comfortable with sharing that information. Another tip for great videos is to improve your lighting. In fact, I was talking with a client today who is purchased lights, specialized lights that he can use for his videos. And there are specialized lights that you can get. You can get filters to cover the lights or things that will help to mute the light so it doesn't like just totally, you know, you want to be lit on camera. You want to be visible, but you don't want the light, you know, totally drowning you out at the same time as well. But practice and play with your lighting, and that can help to improve the quality of your videos. You can also use props. So one of the tips I'll share with you here is to create a prop box. So get a little box, you know, maybe it's a shoe box or a bigger box, a banker box, and then start finding things that you can add to your box. Like I'm looking at my table here, and I have a squeeze ball. It actually has a logo on it. It says Liberty Mutual. I picked this up probably either from a Liberty Mutual agent or at a trade show many years ago. And I have it sitting on my desk. So this could be something that I could use in a video. So when you sit down to record a video, if you have your prop box in front of you, then you can look through it and think about what is a prop that I could use in this video that would make sense. So like in this case with this blue squeeze ball, I'd have to think, well, how can I make use of this? What could I talk about that would, make this relevant in the video? How could I refer to it? And I'll give you an example here. I did a video one time talking about LinkedIn. And in the video, I pulled out my keys and I jingled my keys. I just, shook the keys and they made a jingling sound. And then I made an analogy or a metaphor based on the keys linking together and how you link up on LinkedIn. So think about how you can use props as a way to support the point that you're making in your video or create some kind of a visual around it. If you don't have a prop, then you can always create a prop. I'll give you a simple example. Something I've done before is to take an index card and then take a thick, wide marker, like a black marker, and then write a word on it. And then at the appropriate point in the video, then I hold up the index card on screen. Again, this is one of those things where you want to, you know, practice it and record it and then go watch it and make sure that when you hold it up, that it's visible on screen. Because when you're holding something up, then, you know, it's tough to know exactly what is in frame. But generally, if you are in frame on the video and you hold up something in front of you, you know, you probably don't want to necessarily cover your face up. You could hold it kind of below your chin to where it should be visible on camera. But those are all things that you should practice in your videos and get comfortable. So part of your practicing is not just what you're saying, but also what you're doing on camera. It goes back to what Susan Schlieff talked about earlier about using motion. Think about how you can use motion in your videos. By the way, you know, I'll just throw this in. I was out watching car videos over the weekend. I was looking for some how-to videos on related to car repairs, and I came across a video from somebody called Eric the Car Guy. And in one of his videos, he was talking, and at one point, he holds up a light. And it was like, I guess, some kind of little investigative light that they use, you know, to be able to you know, point it down into the deep recesses of the car to be able to see something in there. But he held it up to the camera and he said, "Ouch, Elliot," which is a reference to the movie E.T. or The Extraterrestrial. So he was adding a little bit of humor into his video. I caught that. I understood what that meant. Some people not, but it was funny. And humor builds rapport. Eric Lofholm says, funny equals money. Funny equals money. So if you can incorporate some humor into your videos, that can be helpful as well. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to tell jokes, but something like that could be a nice little thing to incorporate in. Another tip is to look into the camera. Look into the camera. So this is one reason you don't want to be reading from a script or from a teleprompter, is because if you're looking away from the camera, then it looks like you're not looking at the audience. And you want to be looking at the audience. You want to be looking eye to eye with your audience. And so in order to do that, you actually need to look into the camera lens. And so obviously you would want to know where the camera lens is and then look into it. If you're recording videos over time, then the more often that you record your videos, the better you will become at it because you get practice. You start learning best practices. You start learning habits and techniques for creating your videos. Also, smile. That's a challenge for some people. So you might have to practice smiling on camera. Oftentimes I'll write in my outline, smile. I'll put it in all caps. And so that reminds me as I'm going through the video at some point to smile. And if there's something that's a success or something that is happy that you're sharing in the video, then it might make sense that you're smiling. But, you know, even so, you should try to look for opportunities to smile. So what is your digital you video strategy? Think of a digital you video strategy as a way to clone yourself through video. Have another version of yourself out online that's talking all the time. I like to go out to my videos every now and then and see what or how many views that I've had on my videos. Now, by the way, before we close out here, I want to encourage you to share a link out to your YouTube channel. I'm going to go ahead and grab the link to mine and add it into our Facebook group here on the pinned post. Okay, watch my videos online at, you can go to youtube.com/socialmediaoutcomes, youtube.com/socialmediaoutcomes. That'll take you out to my page, or you can go watch my videos and go ahead and share your link in the Facebook group as well. All right, let me go do a final check out in the Facebook group to see if there are any additional comments. Susan says, true, Rick, some sales videos are about 20 minutes, especially when they use those plain text PowerPoint videos that I find so boring. I know some people test all that stuff and swear they get better results from that type of video and also from locking the video controls. Roy said, Susan, is your book out yet? And Roy said, make your videos more interesting by varying your voice. Susan said, not yet, Roy. Had to start digging in again last spring and then set it aside to launch my video marketing. I need to make some money. You know, sometimes in your online marketing strategies, you have to prioritize and focus on revenue-generating activities first. So great job, Susan. Roy says, the pioneer of digital you, and includes a link out to Max Headroom, which was a TV show from the 80s. I used to watch that. It was kind of a post-apocalyptic world, which was dominated by a television network. There was a character known as Max Headroom. Susan says, I remember Max Headroom. That was a fun show. It was a unique show for those days. In fact, I was just watching a B-movie recently. I saw Matt Frewer, who played Max Headroom in that show in it, and recognized him. But I thought that was funny. I've seen him in a few things over the years, but that's cool. Roy shared the link out to Ubu.com for video chat and video streaming. Roy says, tips. 1, script and practice your videos. 2, outline. 3, improve your views. 4, use props. And 5, look into the camera. Susan said you can display your outline using a teleprompter rather than reading it word for word. The main advantage of the teleprompter is that you can look right into the camera lens while you're reading your outline. Susan said the prop box could work in the other direction too. Instead of looking for a prop to use with your topic, you could be inspired by a prop and then come up with a related topic. Good. Excellent idea. Susan said that's really, really noticeable when you look away from the camera lens. It makes you look shifty. Yeah, especially if you're looking away from the camera in most of the video, too. Susan shares a link out to her, actually two YouTube channels. One, which is youtube.com/mediamagic, and the other one, youtube.com/SusanJoyShleaf. On that note, it's the top of the hour, so we're going to wrap up our call for today. I want to thank you for taking the time to join me today. Hopefully you got a lot of great strategies about how to leverage online video in your business. Take a moment now, go out to the Facebook group, and post your commitment. What do you plan to accomplish in the next week before next week's call? Do you want to create a video? Go ahead and post that. Is there some other type of sales technology strategy that you're working to implement? Are you working on email messages or scripts to send out through social media? Are you working on an appointment setting technique or a lead capture page? Go ahead and share that on the Facebook group. Let us know what you commit to do in the next week. Thanks for joining me. Have a great week, and God bless.